Wolfpack Nation, and welcome back to Scott Wood's One Man Wolfpack. Again, very special guest, award-winning writer, college basketball analyst, one of the founders of the Field of 68, so he allows me to talk to all of Wolfpack Nation. Rob Dosser, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. We got Encanto going on in the other room, so if you hear anybody singing about not talking about Bruno, that's because it's in the other room. It's not me doing it.
That's all right. I have Anna and Elsa, the little wrist flicks, and it's Let It Go. So you're going to hear that too. So that's why we have somebody that can edit this stuff, is to block out all the noise.
Yeah, exactly.
So before we move on, let me tell you guys a little bit about our partners over at Bet Rivers Sportsbook. If you haven't signed up with Bet Rivers yet, now's the time, because they are offering $250 match bonus for your first deposit. But what sets them apart is they require just one play through to turn your bonus into cash money. With their new Rush Pay instant approval, withdrawing your winnings is safer, more secure, and more reliable. With conference season ending, get into the action by going to BetRivers.com today or by downloading the BetRivers iOS app. Must be 21 years or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. So, man, we'll make it nice, quick, short, and sweet. Ask you a few questions. I think this is a good time to not necessarily focus so much on NC State, but just kind of get a college basketball as a whole wrap up, kind of find out what's happening. So my first question is the state of college basketball. So I've had arguments with a lot of people. Where do you see the state? Do you see the level of competition really high? Do you see it being really top heavy? And, you know, do you see it as, you know, you might get some of these, you know, middle tier guys that creep up and are going to beat some of these big teams come tournament time? Where do you see this level of competition?
I think this has been the most entertaining college basketball season since I've been doing this. There's probably 10 teams, 11 teams, 12 teams, however deep you want to go, that can win it all. There is nobody that's clear-cut favorite. I think that Gonzaga, if you look at the metrics, it's kind of pulled away a little bit. I also think that probably has a little bit to do with beating the hell out of teams in their JV conference. I think the fact that the NIL came into effect during the summer at the same time that you had all of these dudes able to get an extra COVID year to come back, made it so that the level of talent in college basketball is, one, deeper than it's been in a long time, and two, more spread out, right? Like you got 50-year seniors that are all Americans starting at the point of Villanova. Like Colin Gillespie went for 33 last night at the dunk, and they beat Providence, who was in first place in the Big East. You got Hunter Dickinson back at Michigan playing like an All-American, and they're just not very good because the rest of the Big Ten is loaded too, because Kobe Coburn's back and Johnny Davis is there. It's a loaded college basketball landscape, and you know, it's a good thing for the sport, man. It's been a lot of fun to talk about all of these blue bloods that have been really good and all of these teams that are thriving, and you know, hopefully one day we'll be able to get your Wolfpack there at some point.
that's the goal. That's the goal. We're working there. We started with a win the other night against Georgia Tech, so we're on the right path. So hopefully we can finish strong. So the next question is, and this is one of the big ones, because I've always felt like, you know, especially when I was playing, you would get really top heavy. You know, you'd get the Power Five conference, whatever you want to call it. You'd get the, you know, the 1-2 best. I mean, obviously you still have some Cinderella stories in there, but you'd always have those guys where you're like, okay, this is almost a lock for, you know, a Final Four. Kind of talk about the best conference right now in college basketball. Obviously, probably a Big Ten, which may be the clear favorite, but if it is our clear favorite, who would you say is the next, you know, front runner for best conference in college basketball right now?
I think I'd actually argue it's either the SEC or the Big 12. That's the best league in college basketball right now. The Big 12 is the most balanced. They basically have 10 teams that are like tournament worthy. I don't know. They'll probably only get like 7 or 8 in. But the worst team in that league is like top 60 in all the metrics. The team that's in last place right now, Iowa State, was a top 25 team 2 weeks ago, right? That conference is just low. There's no off nights. They play the double round robin. Everyone's got to play on everybody's home court. I mean, that's the toughest league in the country, just because there's no off nights. You know, you don't get a Boston College. You don't get a Georgia Tech. I think that the SEC is the most top heavy. I think Auburn and Kentucky and Tennessee, to me, are all top 10 teams. I think Auburn is legitimately the best team in college basketball. And I think that that Kentucky, when they are healthy, is not that far behind. You know, the Ty Washington kid is he keeps rolling that same ankle over and over and over again. I don't know if you ever played on a bum ankle, but I can't tell if he's one of these guys that's always hurt but never injured, or if he's one of these guys that is just going to try to play like he tried to play through a bone sticking out of the side of his leg.
Yeah.
So whatever it is, like he's not right now. So he's got to, if he can get back, get healthy, take a couple weeks off, get ready for March, I think that Kentucky can win it all. And then Tennessee, man, they've really put that thing together. Rick Barnes is, they're guarding. Some of their guys have started making shots right now. They play this two guard lineup where they have two guards that are both under 6 foot, which it works because nobody sees that. Mm-hmm. And both of them are tough. They got Kennedy Chandler and Zakai Ziegler are both, they're tough. So to me, it's either the SEC, you're talking about who's got the best teams at the top, or the Big 12 in terms of what the toughest is. But I mean, the Big 10's loaded. It's just kind of, they got some bad teams at the bottom, and I don't think the good teams are as good as people think they are. I think Purdue's overrated. That's my hot take. Can I give you a hot take?
Well, then my hot take is Purdue's one of my favorites.
I think
I'll say this about Purdue. I think Purdue has a specific witness. Like, for example, NC State gave them trouble because it's full of athletes, can go one-on-one. So I think they have that weakness there. Their point guard play is not phenomenal.
It's putting it nicely.
But
nice and diplomatic there, Scott. I see.
But you can get by with things. And that's the one thing that scares me, is that they're going to run up on a team with just a bunch of athletes. But the one thing that kind of made me happy, which again, they played Illinois. I watched that game and I felt like they handled Illinois all right. And this was probably a month ago now, maybe. Mm-hmm. It was a noon game. I don't know why I was watching a noon game, but it just so happened to be Purdue. But again,
it was Martin Luther King Jr. Day. It was a noon tip on a Monday when nobody was working.
Yeah. And because I remember I had money on the game. And Illinois' starting point guard had just came back. So again, this is another dynamic. But I felt like if there was a team to give them trouble with athleticism and things like that, it'd be this team. But I felt like they handled it pretty well. But again, being able to do it on consistent.
My thing is, I don't think they can guard. Like, I don't think they have the perimeter defenders. They're one of these teams where it's very hard for them to, one, get their five best players on the floor, because two of their three best players both play the same position. They play the five.
Yeah.
Trevion and Zach Edey are never on the floor together. I think they played like a total of when they were getting their ass kicked at Michigan, before that, they had played like a total of 3.7 seconds together. And that was just last second passes, because Trevion has the best arm. So they would just throw the ball down court and try to post Zach Edey from 94 feet away. That's the only time that they were on the floor together before they were trying to figure some things out against Michigan. So I don't think that they have their best players on the floor. And I don't think they're one of these teams where your best defensive five is your best offensive five. Because I think Trevion's a really good defender. Zach Edey's a much more efficient offensive player. Isaiah Thompson, their point guard, can really, really shoot it. He can't stop anybody. Eric Hunter is a great defender on the perimeter. He can't shoot it. So you run into the situation where it's impossible for you to get the best possible five, or your best five defenders, best five offensive players, and best five players, period. That's not the same group for Purdue in any way, shape, or form. So that's a concern for me. I don't think they can guard well enough.
I give you that. That's legit. But I do think if they can find a way on the defensive end to guard some of these athletes that can give them problems. Obviously, everybody's got to make shots and play well on the offensive end. But that, I think, is going to be their thorn in their side, is if they can find a way to stop those athletes.
They could put up 100 points for six straight games, and I would not be surprised. And if you're putting up 100 for six straight games, you're probably winning all six of those games.
No, I'd agree with that. Make shots, man. It's easy. You score more than the other team, you're going to win. It's just the facts. Exactly. I mean, just the facts.
And so, three is more than two, Scott. I don't know if people know that.
That is also a very true statement. So you get these conferences that, you know, you can't take a night off. I felt like this when I was in the ACC. You know, Boston College had Reggie Jackson. Like, they had some players. So you couldn't – it didn't matter who you played, you couldn't take a night off. Do you think this hurts them? Obviously, it helps your strength of schedule, some of the other things, and it looks good. Do you think in the long run, because you're going to lose to a few more of these teams than some of the, you know, bottom feeders are weaker and you have a stronger record, do you think this hurts them in any way?
The only thing I would say is that you're if you have a war every single night, you're going to be ground down by the end of the season, right? You're going to be beat up. Your legs are going to be tired, especially in a year like this where you have some COVID games that you got to make up. So you're playing like two or three times this year. These teams are playing like three games in 5 days, and that'll wear on you, especially with the travel that you got in the ACC and the Big 12. But I would rather be tested than go through playing in a conference where you don't really get hit with any of that, right? Like, I would rather experience having to come back from 5 points down when you get to the tournament, and you're going to have to do that at some point.
Yeah.
You know, I would rather experience having to deal with a big physical five and also having to deal with the team that's going to press you for 94 feet and all these teams that play different styles. So I'd rather be tested every single night. You just got to know that your guys might not have legs by the end of the season.
Yeah, but that's also why I've always badmouthed Gonzaga, is because I feel like, you know, I used Baylor as the example last year. Like, Baylor every night has to play. So they're going to get better each and every night. I mean, Gonzaga, you know, can throw out the walk-ons and still win by 15 in a lot of their games. And I think that's one of the reasons why I don't want to call myself a mid-major hater, but I'm probably a mid-major hater, because I feel like you get these, you know, the ACs. No,
I hear you, and you're right. But the only thing I would say is this. The last – if you go look at the last five tournaments that were played, right, not including 2021. If you look at the last five tournaments that were played, Gonzaga in 2016 as an 11 seed made the Sweet 16. In 2017 – as the number one overall seed, they lost in the second. I think that was the year they finished as a runner up. That's when they lost to North Carolina in the title game. In 2018, as a four seed, they made to the Sweet 16. In 2019, as a one seed, they lost in the Elite Eight. And I think, who was that to? I can't remember who they lost to that year. But then in 2021, obviously they made it to the national title game. So, they lost to Texas Tech in the Elite Eight, who made it to the national title game. So there's really only one year where they didn't like live up to what their seed would be. And getting to back-to-back title games, like, to me, that kind of proves it. So I hear what you're saying, but I don't think it's really impacted their performance. They just haven't. They got to win it. You know what I mean? They got to win that.
Get the
title
monkey off their back. I'd give you that. I just see it as, you know, the Baylors are improving as the season goes by. That's why I think you see Gonzaga at the beginning of the year blow out a Duke or someone like that, because, you know, everybody's learning still. And then you start to get into your conference season, and now that Duke team and that Baylor team are getting better each and every day, when, you know, Gonzaga is just, you know, let's just take a night off, guys.
They can win. They can win by not playing their best. But I will, the other thing I'll just say is, like, every game they play on the road is the Super Bowl. Like, they walk in, it's like walking into Indiana high school gyms that you probably played in high school. And just imagine if you walked in there with like Romeo Langford, or walked in there with like Steve Alford on the team, right? Just imagine what that would have been like in those buildings. They're small and the teams probably aren't that good, but you got like dudes throwing batteries at you. You got people that are cussing you out. They probably put you in a locker room where they don't turn the heat in the water on. Like, They're probably going through some things on those road trips that you're like, wow, this is some real mid-major stuff that's going on right now.
Well, I played overseas, so I know all about throwing coins and batteries and getting spit on. So I know all the backstory, but that is true. That's another thing that I don't really take into consideration. They're going to get
– at least there's no flares going off in the stands. That's the one positive.
Throwing shoes, but they're going to get the best out of everybody every night, because it's Gonzaga. You know, they beat them. They talk about it the rest of their lives. You know, it doesn't matter what they do the rest of the year. Oh, we beat Gonzaga.
It's a Super Bowl, man. They come once a year. It's their Super Bowl.
I'll give them that. So, kind of get on the ACC a little bit. So, who is your favorite player to watch in the ACC?
This is probably going to be a little bit different than other people would say, but there's two of them. One is Mark Williams at Duke. The way that he could change a game defensively, I don't think people appreciate just how good he is on that end of the floor. And the other one is Alondis Williams at Wake Forest. Like, that dude, he's special, man.
Well, and I saw him. He did the same thing with us. I was sitting next to somebody at the game, and they're like, he's their leading scorer and hadn't scored a bucket. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, listen, I'm just telling you, the good guys will find a way to score. And in the second half, he just went off. I think he might have ended up with 20. He was just fine in the first half.
And hey, like, he'll have a step back three. That dude's fun.
Yeah.
He's a lot of fun to watch.
So I'm biased. So I like to watch Tre'Quavion. I mean, he gets wild at times, but he's He's absolutely has no fear, which is so much fun to watch. But my favorite might be Blake Wesley.
Yeah.
He's going to be he's one of the guys that just played the game the right way. Indiana kid, you know, come onto the scene, averaging almost 14 and a half a game. I mean, to me, he's very fun to watch. And I think as he starts to grow, he's really going to, you know, take his game to the next level. He's one of the ones too, but
he's kind of figured out how to play a little bit too. Like when he first got there, the first couple of games, it was kind of like, okay, you're athletic. We know you can score.
Yeah.
But you got to figure out like the right time. You don't want to be taking a 18 foot pull up off the dribble with no passes with 25 seconds left on the shot clock when you're up by four with 2 minutes left. Right. Like you'll be doing things like that. It's just kind of like, what are you seeing in this possession? Why are you doing this right now? And he's kind of figured that out a little bit. And
that's all freshmen. It takes.
Yeah, exactly.
It takes all of them time. I tell everybody it's a learning curve. You know, like you get some guys to get in some minutes, and you know, like a Tre'Quavion or a Wesley or a this kid from Duke,
Paolo.
Yeah, I mean, you get these guys that you know really good, but there's still a learning curve there. You're going from high school now playing against guys that have been doing this for 3-4 years that are. Yeah. Instead of boys, they're becoming men. So there is a change up. So you gotta learn how to play.
I know it's cliche to say, but by the end of your freshman season, like you basically are what you're going to be. Like you're basically a sophomore. Like you've experienced enough that we can't really sit here and be like, he's a freshman. Like you should have at least some things figured out by the end of your freshman season. And I also, it's kind of off topic a little bit, but if you look at a team like Virginia that is kind of figured things out a little bit. What do we say at the start of the year? They were probably a year away, right? You got to wait for the Shedrick kid to kind of figure it out. And they got that wing. Who's the young blanking on his name. They got the wing.
Not Gardner, right?
Reese Beekman.
Okay.
They got a couple guys on that team that are like, it felt like they were a year away coming into the season. And now, you know, we're at the end of the year and they've kind of figured it out a little bit. Like Shedrick's got a chance to be a pro, man. When you're that big and that athletic, you got a shot. Beekman's a good player. He'll lock you up too. So guys are getting better. You're right.
Yeah. Well, especially as the season goes on, it's going to happen. So as of right now, ACC teams, as of now, who do you think's in the tournament? How many do you think they get in?
Duke's getting in. Duke will probably get like a one or a, probably get a two or a three seed. I don't think they'll be able to get to the one line. I would expect Notre Dame to be able to get in. I think that they've done enough this year that they have that win over Kentucky, that's going to be able to be the difference maker against a lot of these teams that are on the bubble. Same thing with Miami, right? They have the win at Duke. That's never going anywhere. And they've done enough to be able to make up for, they got some weird losses, but they've done enough to be able to make up for some of that. North Carolina and Wake Forest are the interesting ones to me. I think that Wake will probably get in because I expect Wake to finish like 14 and 6 in the ACC, something like that. And if you get to 14 and 6 in the ACC, I think it's going to be very difficult for you to be kept out of the tournament.
Yeah.
And they also played the kind of schedule that will get you a lot of wins in non-conference play. I think they were like 351st in the strength, the degree of difficulty for their non-conference schedule. So they got a lot of wins.
He's gotten robbed on that a couple of times, and Coach Keats has changed his scheduling up because of it.
Yeah. So I think that Wake will probably get in. North Carolina is going to be the interesting one because you talked about Ben Majors a little bit, right? They don't have a quadrant one win. Their best win is a home win over a mediocre, disappointing Michigan team that is like 40th in the net right now.
Yeah.
That's their best win. You showed me a mid-major that was 0-7 in quad one opportunities that got beat by 40 by Kentucky, that got run off the floor by Tennessee, that got smacked by, I think it was Villanova that smacked him around.
Yeah.
That's probably not a team that would get in the tournament if they were a mid-major. Now, they got that North Carolina across their chest.
They don't deserve. They're gonna lose their next game against State. State's gonna handle it, so we'll put them out.
Get them out, man. Take care of business for us.
Well, that's the plan. But yeah, so what do you think about Syracuse? You got Virginia that's getting hot.
Virginia Tech.
Any chances?
I don't think Syracuse is gonna be able to get in unless they get an automatic bid. Virginia Tech took too many bad losses early in the season. I think Virginia's got a shot. But their computer numbers are just terrible. But they do have a win over Providence. What they need more than anything else is for Providence to go out and blow a couple teams out. Go beat somebody by 40. Get like Providence right now is in first place in the Big East, and they're like 45th in all the metrics. You know, if you just looked at all those metric numbers, they would probably end up being like an 11 seed. And they're going to get a 2 or a 3 seed because they just beat a bunch of teams by like 2 and 3 points. So what they need is Providence to blow some teams out so that that looks like a little bit of a better win. It'll help them out. The residual numbers going up on those metrics. It's always fun to have to do the calculus to be able to figure that stuff out, right?
Well, I'm glad you're doing it. Not me. I can promise you that. So talk a little bit about the After Dark XM. That came out. So this is your chance to plug Field of 68 Network, because I found out through your social media. So talk about that. So anybody in Wolfpack Nation, if they want to check something out, where they get you at?
Yeah. So what we're doing is when we started Field of 68 last year, what we did was just had a bunch of people doing basically team specific podcasts.
Yeah.
And our idea for this season was, when I was growing up, I don't know if you did this, Scott, but every night when I would get home during the summer, what I would do is I would go sit my ass on the couch and I would watch Baseball Tonight for an hour. Mm-hmm. I knew it was 11 p.m. every single night during the summer. That's what I did every night during the week during the summer. But I mean, what else do you have to? You don't have nothing to get up for, right? So that's what I would do. I was watch Baseball Tonight, and there's nothing that could replicate that in the college basketball space. So I was like, we got the connections. We know enough people. we watch all these games. Like, why not? Let's try to do it. And it worked out enough that it's kind of taken off a little bit. So we stream it onto our wherever you're watching this on YouTube, it's the same place that you can watch this. If you're on Twitter, go to the Field of 68 Twitter. We stream it there. The audio is simulcast onto Sirius XM, the ESPNU station. I think it's channel 84. So we do that every single night, rest of the season, every night, 11 p.m. Eastern time. You can find us there. So it's been a blast, man. It's a lot of fun to just sit here and kind of react in the moment. Like, that's the one thing that I don't think people realize we do, is like, we're sitting there watching the games, and if there's a buzzer beater on a national game, like, we're watching it live and you get that reaction live.
No, that's a lot of fun. I've enjoyed the Field of 68, you guys bringing me in, and it's been a lot of fun, especially just the connection to, you know, a lot of the guys I played with in the past, guys that you can bring on the show and you can get the content out of them that, again, you know, not everybody can get it, so you get some good stories. So
who else can get the story of the CJ Leslie poem? No one else could.
Not many. If he had just read it, it would have been, you know, it'd have been a big hit. That's for sure. So the next step, the starting five. I do this with everybody. So you get the treatment too. So this is brought to you by Refivee. Need a local real estate agent? As we all know, the real estate market is crazy right now. Maybe you have questions, or maybe you just need an honest opinion from a trusted real estate professional to ensure your best interest is protected. Whether you're buying, selling, or investing, call Refivee with Dogwood Properties. For a seamless home buying and selling experience, give Reef a call. If you're considering the possibility of buying, selling a home, call Refivee on his personal cell number at 919-995-3111. 919-995-3111. He's the best in the triangle and a personal friend. He also graduated from state, one of the best. I heard the other day there's only 800 homes available in the triangle, so inventory is low. So you're going to need a good real estate agent if you want a house right now. So you might want to give him a call. So link up with him. So starting five, first question. As of now, what's your final four?
As of this very moment, I have Auburn in the final four. I have Gonzaga in the final four. I have Arizona making it to the final four. And I think that I would probably have that last team be Kentucky, assuming that they are healthy and they get this thing figured out.
I like Auburn. You might have changed my mind a little bit on Purdue, but Auburn and Purdue are my two that I like to possibly win it all.
Purdue could do it, man. Like, Purdue could legitimately go out and score 95 every single night for six straight nights against great teams. Like, if, when they are doing their thing offensively, that you can't stop them. Like, when they decide, like, okay, we're going to turn this thing on. I don't know. How do you stop a 7'4" dude from scoring?
You don't.
You don't.
Especially if he has skill.
Yeah. Jaden Ivey is like the most, he's probably the most dynamic player and electric player and explosive player that we've seen in college basketball since Ja Morant. Like, they're very different in terms of how they play the game. Like, Ja is very much a point guard that wants to pass it, whereas Jaden Ivey is like, I'm getting to the rim, I'm a dunker.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
But the that explosion where it's like, I what you just did right there, there's like 8 humans in the world that are able to do what you just did right there. Like that, he's it's insane. Like, but Auburn, Scott Wooden is prime.
Sheesh, I wish. I'm just hoping my kids have somewhat athletic ability. If they get a, maybe they get my wife's athletic ability, something. Just, you
know, we can only hope. We can
just
only
not hope. Mine. You could keep my, you know, my basketball knowledge and all that stuff, but not my athleticism. You don't want that. So top three, second question, top three coaches in NCAA right now.
Top three coaches. Like if I'm starting a program, who are the three that I'm going after?
Yeah.
First and foremost, this might,
or if that's too broad, give me the top three coaches this seat, like that have a program that you may not have expected that have done a really good job this year.
All right. So how I'll do this. So I think right now my coach of the year would be Tommy Loy at Arizona.
Okay.
Taking over a brand new program and turning it into something that we haven't seen at Arizona, really playing the way that they played probably since Lou Dolson was there. Made like Sean Miller's teams were, that he had a couple years where they were really, really good.
Yeah.
But they didn't play up and down the way that this team plays. Like this is Showtime highlight reel basketball. They're going to put up 80 and 90 every night. They want to be the fastest team in the country. Like that, it's a lot of fun to watch them. So I would go Tommy Loy being able to coach of the year, being able to implement a system right away. I think the best coach right now in college basketball is probably Scott Drew. Coming off a national title, coming back and has a team that's good enough to repeat if they can stay healthy. He's changed up who he is as a coach. Like, how many coaches do you know that can go from being like a 2-3 zone team to being like a over-pressuring, no middle, aggressive man-to-man, pressing you all the way out to half court every single possession kind of a coach? Not many guys can change.
What they only do. Guys from Indiana know how to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's where the best coaches come from. Them Indiana boys, man.
Exactly. So I think Scott Drew is the best coach there right now. If I had to pick one guy to start my program, it would probably be Bruce Pearl. I don't know if there's anybody that is able to get a fan base engaged the way that Bruce is. He's turned Auburn into a basketball school. Think about that. Auburn's a basketball school.
And that's why I tell everybody, too, it's like as rough as the year has been for NC State, if you can pull some guys out of the transfer portal, I think that's where – the NIL this summer, especially now that it's really out, is going to be a big deal because you get some good players, man, and you could turn a 3-17 ACC record, you know, into a middle of the pack or, you know, top five relatively easy. Wake Forest is another example. Mm-hmm. Wake did it. They got some guys out of transfer portal. You know, now they're looking at possibly.
You got to get the right guys, but if you can get the right guys, I mean, Alondis Williams and Jake LaRavia are both going to end up playing in the NBA at some point.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing.
And pluck them right out of the portal.
And that's where it's at, man. I mean, I get you still get – you got to get your high school kids still, but it's also different when you're getting a guy that's, you know, knows the game and has played it at this level already. You know, there's a freshman
have expectation too, man. Freshmen are going to come in and they want to be the guy. Whereas transfers are going to come in and they're going to be like, look, I already went with all that. I want to win. I want to get better because this is probably my last chance to have a real shot at getting to the league.
Yep, exactly. So, number four, ACC team with the best chance to make the Final Four. Who you like?
I mean, it's got to be Duke.
Hands down, no question?
It's got to be Duke. Like, they just – I think that they're the most talented team in the country. Now, I have very real questions about their point guard play. I think it's a real problem. You know, we saw – so, I used this example on After Dark last night. There were two possessions down the stretch last night against Wake Forest. Did you watch it? Did you see any of that game?
I watched some highlights. I was at Capitol Grill and it was on, and I was just following my NC State was winning, so I had to follow the updates on there.
Exactly. So
it's been a while, man. I had to enjoy the moment.
So there were two things that happened in that game down the stretch. The first one was Trevor Key, Coach K didn't come out in the second half. He was sick. So John Shire, Trevor Keels is coming up there up by two with like 40 seconds left or something like that. And he's doing the point at the ground thing, like, come over here, come call a timeout, right? Trevor Keels dribbles over to him. His defender, like, tries to jump and tries to steal the ball. And Trevor gets around him and is like, oh, I got a lane to the basket, and kind of dribbles in and then goes to throw a lob to Mark Williams and, like, literally throws the ball over the backboard. It was the worst lob I've ever seen anybody throw. But, you know, like, if you have a real point guard, you're going to call on that timeout. Like, that's what you're doing. You're not going to making a horrible play and turning the ball over in that situation. Next possession, they come down. what Wake Forest has been doing is trapping ball screens, right?
Yeah.
And Wendell Moore runs off a ball screen about 40 feet away from the rim instead of getting it right at the top of the key. Ends up getting trapped at half court and falling into the backcourt for a backcourt violation. Another turnover. If you have a real point guard on your team, you're not committing those turnovers.
So I had to look it up. But Trevor Keels is a freshman, right?
Yep.
I think that's these freshmen are just kind of wild at times. And they don't And I get that it's towards the end of the season, but they don't fully understand. And I think if – and this is going to be something where Shire's going to have to learn. Coach K's sitting there. Do you think he does it?
Absolutely not, man. Absolutely not. Shire's got to get a little bit meaner.
And that's the thing. I mean, it's just there's a respect level there that, you know.
Do you know John at all?
Not that well. I mean,
he might be the nicest human being on the planet.
I'd agree with that. Yeah,
We got to get him a little bit meaner, a little bit angrier. I don't know how we can do it.
I'll talk trash to him on Twitter or something.
You want him really nice. You should tell him like, oh, it's so nice to see a coach out there that's so nice.
Well, now that Kay and Roy's leaving, I mean, it just feels like, you know, NC State's opportunity, and then we're just kind of struggling over here right now. But it's the same. I think it's going to be a transition. They're going to try and get their stuff in, the same thing that Hubert's going through now. I mean, it's just you don't want to run the same things. There's going to be a little bit of a transition. Obviously, everybody wants success right away because it's Carolina and Duke, but it's still going to be change, and it's not always going to be perfect, but they'll get established eventually. It's just a matter of time. So, all right. Duke is the team to make the Final Four. The last question, who's your NCAA champion?
Oh, man. So, I think I'm still going to go. I think I'm going to go with Gonzaga. And it feels like a little bit of a cop-out, but they have two first-team All-Americans on their front line. Their backcourt is a bunch of old dudes. They have size. They finally have kind of elite rim protection with Chet Holmgren there. And Chet, by the way, like if you look at some of his numbers, he's averaging 14 points, blocking more than three shots, shooting 60% from the floor and 40% from three. Nobody's ever done that in the history of college basketball. Put up that stat line. No one's ever done it. And I think that his ability to kind of change things at the rim allows them to be a little bit more aggressive defensively. And my issue with them was always they're kind of like, you could punk them a little bit on that end. And I don't think that they have that in them this year. So it feels like a cop out taking the best team. I'm going to go with Gonzaga. If you want someone a little bit off the radar, you want me to give you someone a little bit off the radar?
I'll take it. I'll take anything. I just know Gonzaga is not going to win the national championship. So.
All right, there you go. So the team that's a little bit off the radar, I think Illinois has a real chance.
I like their team.
And I'm saying this right now. We're recording this on a Wednesday night. They are down by 17 at Rutgers.
Okay. That's okay. I like Rutgers.
Yeah, they're tough, man.
Hey, I think it was Rutgers last year. I went to a friend's senior night at Purdue, which might be why I'm homering Purdue a little bit. But anyways, I watched them play, and they can ball, man.
And I'll tell you what.
Ronnie Jr. can hoop. They've got some guys.
And I'll tell you what. The Rack, where they play their home games, imagine having – did you ever watch the show Jersey Shore?
I mean, a little bit. Imagine my mom wouldn't let me watch garbage like that.
Imagine having a building full of Pauly D's and Mike the Situations just screaming at you and cussing at you for 40 minutes.
It's funny you say that. So I was watching Providence the other day when they were playing Marquette.
Another perfect example of it.
And I looked at the crowd, and I looked at my wife and my sister-in-law, and I was like, I just want to say this. I don't think I'd be friends with any of these people, but they'd be a lot of fun to hang out with. Yeah.
I promise you they would, man. I promise you that they would.
That's the first thing I said. I was like, this wouldn't be my crowd.
Did you see the video of them singing Taylor Swift?
No, I did not.
So the tradition at Providence, I don't know when it started. I think it started in the last couple of years, is that at the under four timeout of the second half, they play You Belong With Me in the arena, and the entire arena sings it at the top of their lungs. And you know, and trust me, you know this, man. You're from the South. You know this. The only way that you can get a group of people singing Taylor Swift like that in mass, everybody's got to be drunk.
Yeah. You got to be drunk anyways to sing Taylor Swift. Let's be clear on that.
Yeah, true.
I ain't singing no Taylor Swift. That's for sure. But no, buddy, I appreciate you coming on. You know, it's been good. So it's a little bit of a difference. So we're not talking as much NC State, although we did dabble a little bit of NC State here and there. But just to kind of get that college basketball breakdown, especially some of the ACC stuff, especially now that, you know, the conference tournaments are going to come up. It's going to, you know, these bubble teams are going to have to make a run to get in the tournament. So it's good to hear.
Selection Sunday is in 17 days.
That's crazy.
17 days. Crazy. It's crazy.
But again, it's, I see, yeah, this is the stuff I like to hear. Cause I do, I watch a majority of the ACC games, but it's good to hear about, you know, the other teams out there that we think, you know, could find success and are playing well right now. So once I get to the tournament, I know where I'm putting my money.
There you go.
So thank you, man. So Wolfpack Nation, please like, subscribe, all the fun stuff that I don't fully understand. Again, thank you, Rob, to the Field of 68 Network for having me on here just to talk a bunch of stuff and act like I know what I'm talking about. So again, I appreciate it, and go Pack.